Check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Is it on? Good morning. I think Pastor Sam's not feeling so well. So let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, 1 through 15. Acts 17, 1 through 15. Now when they had traveled to Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them for 3 Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a great multitude of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And coming upon the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. And when they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also. And Jason has welcomed them, and they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And they stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they received a pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. When the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they had arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there likewise, agitating and stirring up the crowds. And then immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there. Now those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. And also in Acts 18, verse 9, just one verse, it says, "And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent.'" Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word, and I ask you just in this short time that you would come and speak to us and just encourage us today. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today, this morning I wanted to talk about not letting our feelings control us. You know how we see Paul, he's in Thessalonica and he's ministering and he's preaching the gospel, and the Jews stir up the crowd and they're ready to kill, basically, right, Paul and Silas, and bring a lot of damage to them. So the brethren that come to believe, they send them away to another town called Berea. And so when Paul and Silas, they go to Berea, I'm sure they're not rejoicing. You know, I'm sure they're not, like, really happy that they were persecuted in Thessalonica, that they are, you know, they're not excited about the persecution and the threats of death, you know, killing that they receive in Thessalonica. But when they go to Berea, we see that they immediately go to the synagogue and they do the same thing, just as they did in Thessalonica. And they see a bit more fruit in Berea, but eventually in Berea, the people from Thessalonica come, same thing, death threats, they're going to kill him. So the brethren send Paul away to Athens. And if you look later on in Athens too, Paul stands up and starts preaching and doing the work of God there. And then in Acts 18, verse 9, you know, the Lord comes and says, "Hey Paul, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent." So what that tells us is that Paul was afraid, you know. Even if we read the Acts account and we think, wow, Paul is such a mighty man of God who, you know, so bold and so powerful in doing the work of God. But he must have been afraid, for God to come to him and say, hey, don't be afraid any longer. As in, you're afraid now, but no longer do you have to be afraid, because I'm with you, and no man will attack you in this city. And all to say, Paul was afraid, but he kept on doing the work of God. Like, he didn't let fear or his feelings of fear control him and keep him from obeying God and stepping out in faith and doing the work of God. You know, when Sean Smith was here, our guest speaker, he had a session on, I think, Friday night or something, and he talked about how to keep the passion alive. There was a girl who asked the question, like, you know, how do you, after so many years of ministry and doing it, how do you keep your passion alight? And he was sharing some of his thoughts, and what one of the things he said to the group really stuck with me was, he says, you know, we're not living by our feelings. We make decisions according to our spirit, you know, and he knows in his spirit that he needs to go out there and do the work of God. And he says he has a few verses, like a life verse, purpose verses that he reads. And sometimes his feeling is not there. Like, he doesn't have the goosebumps that come to him. He doesn't have the excitement, the joy maybe. But he doesn't let the feelings determine what he's going to do. He lets the Spirit of God living inside of him determine what he's going to do. And he says the feelings follow. You know, and he says he makes the feelings follow. He makes the goosebumps come to him because he decides with his spirit, not with his feelings. And I think it's just important for, you know, our generation as well. You know, because we're very feeling driven, right? We're very like, oh yeah, I feel like doing this and I feel like doing that. And we succumb to that quite easily. You know, sometimes I get up in the morning, especially when PSAM wasn't here, and I would get up in the morning and I'm like, I don't want to preach. I don't want to come up here at 7 o'clock in the morning and I don't feel like preaching. You know, sometimes you feel quite insecure. You know, you're like, oh, I feel so small. I feel so inadequate to come up here and preach. But, I can't do anything about it, right? I have to come up and preach. So it's not really my spirit deciding for me, it's the circumstances. But when you're going to do it, I need to tell myself that it's just going to be done. You know, I can't just let my feelings be like, oh yeah, I don't want to do it, so I'll call in sick or something. And there are times when you just feel so lazy that you don't want to walk in obedience. You just feel like, oh, I don't want to do it, you know? Just not because you feel inadequate, just because you feel lazy. But sometimes we need to overcome that laziness and just obey. And, you know, there's this idea about ministering in the opposite spirit. You know, when something is going on or somebody is acting out of a spirit of whatever, negativity, we need to minister in the opposite spirit and really love and encourage and be positive with that person. My parents are visiting me. They came on Sunday night. And just to be honest with you, my mom can be quite negative sometimes. And she can really move out of that place of just being discouraged herself. And then she doesn't try to, but she ends up bringing everybody else down with her comments and with her negativity. So my feeling is, man, I'm angry and I'm frustrated to be with her. Not all the time. Sometimes when she's like that. But I know that if I just succumb to my feelings and be angry back at her or be frustrated with her, it's just going to do a downward spiral, right? It's not going to get any better. And so I lay it down before the Holy Spirit and I say, Lord, I need your help to minister in the opposite spirit. And what really helps is do the opposite thing that you want to do. You know, like what you feel like you want to do is like just yell at her or just be really frustrated with her and be fed up with her. But I know that that's not the right thing to do. So I just do the opposite and I go the opposite and I say, Mom, I love you. You know, and I start acting really just like tell her, I just voice it out. I say, hey, I love you and you're fantastic. And I just speak encouraging words to her. And then I pray as well in my own time. And I break, you know, the spirit of discouragement and stuff like that. And I think it works. You know, I think it really works. Sometimes, like, when you're frustrated at somebody, instead of acting out of that, you just tell them, hey, I love you. And just by simply saying that, it changes your heart. And I think it's true, like Sean Smith says, your spirit, or the spirit of God inside of you, you decide what to do, and the feelings will follow as you walk in obedience. So, yeah. So let's submit our emotions to God. So one of the things I like to pray is, and I say, Holy Spirit, I submit to you my mind and my emotions and my will. I always submit that to the Holy Spirit because He's living inside of me, but then my own selfish things can get in the way, right, of Him deciding for me. And you know how P. Sand's been talking about the spiritual realm and how the devil is always going to mess with our mind, right? That's the battle zone. And, you know, it's in our minds that also our feelings kind of exist in the mind realm, right? It's not really, I mean, there's nothing here that gives you feelings. It's in your mind. And he's going to mess around with how we feel about things, and he's going to put lies into our heads. So we need to fight that, submit that to the Lord. You know how Larry was here, and he shared about how he prayed for the lady with the shorter leg, and it came out. And one of our house church questions was, if you were in Larry's shoes, what would you do? You know, a lot of us would be afraid. And, you know, Will was talking to Larry about this whole thing and asking him, hey, you know, how do you do this thing? And Larry shared and said, you know, every time he's about to walk in something like this, there's another voice that says, you're going to look ridiculous and you're going to look so stupid and people will think you're an idiot. You know, all these voices will come that give him fear. But he says, you know, he reminds that voice who he is, you know, that he's a child of God. I'm butchering what Larry was saying. But basically, he comes against this fear, and he says, I'm not going to let fear determine what I'm going to do. So let's do that. Submit our emotions to God. And fight sometimes, because we know if it's not of the Lord. So let's close our eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to come and kind of speak to us.
Are feeling, you know, just unloved, you know, you feel inadequate, you feel insecure, let the Holy Spirit speak to you that you are loved by God just as you are, and you know you're a child of God, and you are also called a more than a conqueror, right, in the Word of God. And also, if you're feeling unmotivated, you know, just about life, about your work and stuff like that, the Bible also tells us the joy of the Lord is your strength. And, you know, let the joy of the Lord come and rise up in your hearts as the Holy Spirit just comes and ministers to you. And let's not let the enemy control the way we feel about stuff, but let's let the Holy Spirit come and control our thoughts and our emotions. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven, and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? Oh, what can I to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? Oh, what can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. Sing the chorus, Jesus, what can Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. For our group prayer focus, let's pray for our house churches that's meeting on Tuesdays. We have Kenny and Janie's house church, Mac Daddy. We have Lan Kwai Fong house church. And Star Street. And if you know of any other one that meets on Tuesdays. Are you meeting today? Okay. And GA and Sandro's. So let's just pray for God's blessing, God's presence. Just real openness and vulnerability in the hearts of the people that are there. And let's pray for the leaders that they'll have the anointing of God to speak His word. So let's just cover our house churches that meets on Tuesdays. Let's pray for our missions focus. Let's pray for missionaries that we support in China. Let's pray for the Chong family. Jane and John Chong, they have a kind of a teaching, discipling ministry in China. So let's pray for covering for them and God's blessing and effective ministry, a lot of fruit and just perseverance. And also, let's lift up Pastor Sam Kim's. He has an orphanage there that he supports. I think he has a few orphanages there that he supports and he kind of oversees. Let's pray for God's love to be over them as well and be with the parents. And also pray for my parents, please, as they minister to a minority people group in China. Pray for God's encouragement. The ministry can be a bit difficult. Not a lot of fruit that they can see. So just pray for their hearts not to be discouraged, but to persevere and to hear the approval of Father God and not of anyone else. Let's just pray for them and for our China missions focus. Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the stories of Paul, God, and how he was able to really serve you and obey you despite feelings of fear or discouragement or whatever. And today I pray that, I just pray against any spirit of discouragement that comes into our hearts and any spirit of fear or feelings of inadequacy, God, or just the spirit of deception that can come into our hearts, God, and mess with us. In Jesus' name, I command you to go to the feet of Jesus Christ, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and stir up inside of us, God, such a joy of the Lord in our hearts and an excitement about life and about what you're going to do today, and that we would live this life in obedience to you. And that our feelings will follow, as the Holy Spirit inside of us helps us to choose to live according to your word and according to your desires for us. So we thank you for that. And God, come and do and move, you know, amongst us today. And we want to walk with you. And we also really need to hear your voice and your unconditional love and acceptance of us. So come, Holy Spirit. And we thank you. We give you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.